So I have pretty much had it easy all through life in everything I've done. Maybe I'm blessed, maybe it's privilege, but I've never really had to put up a fight or a struggle on any project that I've taken up or any role that I've taken up. And I was pretty convinced, yeah, this should be fine. I'm good with kids. I've been around kids. A lot of my friends are far ahead in the journey who've given me enough gyan on what is and how it is. But it's the first thing that's ever hit me slam in the face.
The baby was brought in, and the first look, you know, when you see that little bundle of joy there, it doesn't strike you immediately. It struck me an hour later when I went to the and then, you know, I had to basically sign off on the register saying we had come to see you. I wrote my name, and then it said relationship, and I had to write father. That's when it finally struck me that it's all real. That first month, of course. My biggest takeaway from that is I really hated everyone who told me about pregnancy and about the delivery, because everyone says it's a beautiful thing. No one says that their first month is such a horrible month. You are never ever prepared for that first month. It was
No.
nightmarish, and I'm thinking that even if people had told me things, it would have been still nightmarish.
So I go the next day, I have my scan, and they find that, you know, I can, this was like a horrible moment in like how I think we did it in India, which was the guy's like scanning my tummy, and there's someone sitting there like typing, right? So he's calling out to them. He's not talking to me. He's calling out to them over me and saying, fetus in distress. Right, so I come out, I call my mom, and I'm like, you need to come, something is wrong. Like, I don't know what's wrong. My mom's a doctor, so I was like, you need to come. So she came, we go meet the doctor, and she was like, you know, there is like the baby is basically like not growing the way we need it to grow, and so, you know, we may have to get her out early. What ended up happening was 4 days later, Amani actually came. So she came at 28 weeks. She was 650 grams when she came, and I mean she was the smallest baby that the NICU had ever had.
Just because I have my child through C-section, it doesn't mean that it's not a normal birth. It's probably out of the majority, or whatever it is. And there are people also say, oh, you anyway had a C-section, so it must have been easy for you because the child did not have to, you know, come out through your vagina. I understand that there could be, you know, there are disadvantages of that, but you're getting cut through seven layers, right? It's not easy, and
Not even little bit.
you are the primary caregiver. Maximum you can do is ask your partner or mother to hold the child.
A massive amount of content available to us, both on both influencers, social media, books, so many things on internet, right? I think it's important to not overconsume that content. That's what I have learned throughout my 9 months of journey, is read everything,
Exactly.
however, do not overconsume.
That's what my husband says. When my daughter was born, he only remembers me crying. The first 3 months, I was only crying. And obviously, I sought help because I thought, this is so abnormal. Like, I'm so happy, and yet I can't feel help feeling so anxious. And I've been pretty open about this with a lot of new mothers, because I feel like, of course, everyone's experience is different, you know. And as you said, you know, COVID kind of layers a lot of anxiety. And you know, 2020, we didn't know about the vaccines, we didn't know about
Absolutely.
anything, and it felt so claustrophobic, you know, being stuck at home and not knowing when this is going to end.
My birthing experience was truly traumatic, Shruti, for multiple reasons. Because I was 40 weeks into my pregnancy with the case of diabetes from 35th week, so we had to chemically induce my pain. I was hoping for this very yogic, serene labor process, but it was 20 hours long with, you know, a lot of interventions where I had to be chemically induced with the pain and things, I didn't go as per the plan. I didn't have any pain management, so I had to bear all the pain. My partner was with me, and when our child was born, he had complications. He was born a blue baby, so just around the birth, we still remember those very, very stressful initial 5 minutes. This my partner, this me in the labor room. The baby's health was not so great. He spent 1 week in ICU, and he had 3 weeks of antibiotics. The whole experience was so traumatic, and our system and our society, they are not ready to hold space for a new family going through so much. The psychological impact of it, the blues that we were all going through, and the rage, the postpartum rage, which is so real. Again, you would know it only when you experience it. It is one of those things in life that you can't really grow to appreciate until you experience it yourself. It's very real. The postpartum blues, the postpartum rage, they are very real. One biggest realization I had was that postpartum body that I had was the most physically vulnerable I had ever been in life. I was not counting on being so dependable on others in the initial 2-3 weeks, just to even go to the loo, change your dress, to feed the baby. I wasn't able to do anything independently.
Right.
And then after that, you have a baby, and you know, you live happily ever after. And that's really not what happened.
That's when it starts.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
And again, in the first 6 months, we tried to be patient about it. So, you know, we were like, okay, it's getting better. It did get better. I healed.
Yeah.
I was more present after a while, you know, more aware of what was happening around me.
Yeah.
So it did keep getting better, but after 6 months, I think we kind of lost patience, because there's this postpartum depression that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
And this is something, I read a lot about it, and I didn't feel depressed. I didn't feel like I was not good enough to be a mother or anything of that sort. What I felt was postpartum rage.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find much about it, but I was just angry all the time about everything.
Yeah.
So I think the toughest part about having your own business, my ideas were just that, you know, when he needs me, I'll be there. When he doesn't need me, I'll do my own thing, so I don't have to do it based on other people's deadlines. So that was the reason I started something on my own. But then I realized I have to do it according to his deadline, you know. And he always needed me. It wasn't like he needed me in breaks, so it started taking a backseat. My work. And the toughest part then was to be able to draw lines.
With children, it gets even harder. So while I went back, you know, after my maternity break, I think I was also very sort of vocal that I'd like to have some sort of flexibility. I don't want to go all in, and I'd like to take it at my pace. And I think, again, I was truly fortunate that my organization gave me that. Because if they hadn't, I think I'd just, and you hear this from so many moms, right? That burnout is so real, because you're trying to manage so many different roles and navigating so many different things.
You know, when I think the first thing I would, if I were to go back to the Tejas who was, you know, just about to have a child, you know, a few years ago, I would say expect chaos in the beginning, you know. I think we are hoping that we're able to bring control very quickly into our lives, but it actually can take weeks, months to get to that stage.
I sought out a lot of help, especially through other podcasts and reading a lot of, you know, books and articles. And I think it really, really got me through some of that initial processing and thinking about the entire situation. But what I found really interesting is that there wasn't a whole lot from an Indian context. I don't think there were a lot of Asians or South Asians or even Indians specifically who live in the country like I do, Really talking about their postpartum experience, it can be postpartum anxiety, postpartum change, matrescence, even pregnancy. I think the entire conversation was focused on the logistics, where to give birth, how to give birth, where to buy, you know, the thing you need, which is great. But I mean, it isn't enough. I had my son Surya in the pandemic, right, which has its own dimension when you think about the whole experience. I was pregnant during the pandemic and had my son during the pandemic, and I moved to another country 9 weeks after he was born. So I just went through a lot of change in that period, and I don't think I knew what I was signing up for at the time. And even though I have so much privilege and so much access to so many resources, the emotional part of the experience was a lot more overwhelming than I realized. And I think that there needs to be a lot more conversation around the emotional experience and the changes, not the changes in yourself, your identity, your relationships. Everything changes.